live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
And hello, we are back. It is indeed a Sunday. It's time for the Sunday of sermons. Yes, that's right. We're going to do our We Need to Talk About Ghosts episode. You may wonder, well, obviously we are. That's the podcast I subscribe to. Why are you even saying such things? But that's because I've got so many little offshoots now that I forget where I am. We've got a We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. Now we've got the dark episodes, the standard episodes, the Patreon episodes. I think I'm recording more in a podcast sense than I ever have in my effing life, which is fun for you guys, and it's actually fun for me. Anyway, the dark episode. Ooh, that came out last week, or this week even, and that was a success by all accounts. We've had a lot of people saying, wow, I was scared, and that was the point. Yeah, so if you haven't heard the dark episode, go and download it. It's receiving a hell of a lot of nice comments by you wonderful people. It is genuinely scary, if I'm being honest, and that was the point of it. Like we said, you know, there was no levity in it, no laughter, no snidey or witty or attempts of being witty comments from me. It was literally just a scary story that needed people to walk away scared, which is the very essence of a ghost story, isn't it? These ones, like this one we're doing now, we listen to because, you know, we enjoyed also having a laugh because we're nice human beings. But a nice human being can also enjoy a good scare, can't they? Someone did email and say it doesn't really sit within the mix of the shows. And I understand that completely because I'm the first one to mock similar shows, aren't I? Well, not mock, that's a bit harsh. But for example, last year when I'd done the panto, yes, because I do an annual panto, I did have a character called Peter English III who was kind of mocking the podcasts that just go, suddenly he opened the door. And all of a sudden I'm going, suddenly he opened the door. Just because it's a different accent, Kevin, doesn't make it necessarily, what's the word, hypocritical. Yet, I enjoyed doing it. So what can you say? I'm not going to not do something because I've previously made fun of it. Hey, if I'd done that, I know there was going to be a very rude joke there, which I won't say. But I do hope that you're all well. Thank you for the compliments that you've put about the dark episode. And now, obviously, they're going to be bi-weekly. Yes, so the next one will be a week this Wednesday coming. This normal Wednesday coming will be just myself and Becca talking about our daily shenanigans and what we've been up to. So what have I been up to, you may well ask? Well, apart from trying to set stuff up for the dark episode, it looks like, by the way, that could have legs in terms of it may become a secondary podcast. Yeah, it may. So that's what I've been doing. I've also been attempting to set up the website so that we can sell merch, you know, like T-shirts and stuff. Thought I got it nailed the other day. You know that T-shirt I've sometimes wore on the quiz where it's got the show logo on? Set up a man's and a woman's version of that with all different sizes on the internet page. Go on, Grandad, on the internet page. No, on the website. Successfully put through an order. Yes, I paid for it myself. I obviously received the money, so that was fine. But the printing company who I literally just set up an account with and explained what I wanted to do, their side of it didn't work. And when I got in touch with them, they were like, oh, it should be. And I was like, that sort of feedback's very helpful. I'll just shout into the microphone socket of the PC, that should have worked. And of course, it will solve itself. So yeah, I'm not going to start slagging off companies because I do want to give them a chance to rectify it. But fingers crossed, touch wood and all of the other lucky charms that we can do with ourselves, there will be merch readily available soon. More on that to follow. Yes. I hope you've all had a fantastic and slightly paranormal week, by the way. The whole C-word nastiness seems to be going away somewhat, doesn't it? Depending on who you talk to. I know I've just went to pick me and Becca up some breakfast from town and walking through it, it's like nothing ever happened. Apart from people have decided to take a fancy to some masks. That's all that seems to have took place. Yeah, nothing else to report, so I think maybe we should say thank you to our wonderful Patreons, as we do each week. Don't forget, if you'd like to be a Patreon, now more than ever is the best time to join up, because I'm literally just putting, anytime I do anything that's on a normal feed, there's a show to accompany it on the Patreon. And that goes alongside the standard weekly guaranteed Patreon episodes. So, if you want to become a Patreon and hear more waffle, generally including Becca in each and every episode, because people tend to like her. I like her. I go out with her, for Christ's sake. Then get yourself over to www.patreon.com. I don't need to say that anymore, do I? Because it's not 1983. Get yourself over to ZZZ, that's not a website, to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. And there you can go and join a lovely, thriving community. In the meantime and in between time, let's say thank you to our wonderful new patrons who have joined us on the merry ship of Para. Normal, that is. The guitar's out. Now, one of our patrons this week actually signed up a while back, but I never sung their name out. Naughty Kevin. And that's because their sister also signed up. And when I seen the surname, because it's such an unusual surname, I assumed I'd already done it. So, her name is Patrice Kaiken. And her sister, Sarah Kaiken, had already signed up. So, we have a whole family on board. Huzzah! Let's go Manson crazy. So I do apologise, Patrice. We will sing your name now. And we also have the wonderfully named Lisa White. Yes. So let's say thank you to you both via the medium of song. I want to say thank you to two fantastic people, yeah. For keeping the lights on. I wanna thank Patrice. I wanna thank Lisa too. Patrice Kaiken and Lisa White. Oh, without you, we'd probably both die. Well, we wouldn't die. Well, at least I hope not, but we would have two less patrons. So thank you both, you're keeping the lights on. That wasn't a seventh, hold on, criminal. That was a seventh, yes, and that's how we end it on a seventh. So thank you to Patrice Kaiken and Lisa White. Both of you people are helping us keep the lights on over here at WNTA. I spelled it wrong. Wintag Towers, let's just say that. Huzzah! Thank you both. Now, as I say, if you want to be a patron, go to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Now, let's see what weird things have been taking place in the week. Yes, it's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Yes, it's time for Week in Weird, and we're going to see what weird things have been happening in the world this week. Now, one of our regular contributors, Lucy White, has been in touch, and she sent me a link to some startling news this week, and it's from the Sky News website. It appears that somebody has found a vampire-slaying kit. Yes. Now, it includes a pistol, a knife, and it's up for auction. Shall we buy it? Shall we club together? No. Anyway, it says the box has been valued at up to £3,000 and includes a glass vial with unknown contents and a bottle of shark's teeth. Why sharks? What vampire sharks do you get? As if sharks aren't dangerous enough. Do you need a vampire shark? I think not. It says it also contains a pocket-sized pistol and a 19th-century copy of the New Testament. The gothic-looking container, worth between £2,000 and £3,000, also comes with pliers and a rosary. Inside the metal-bound box is an ivory-robed wolf carrying rosary beads, as well as a blue phial with mysterious contents and a silver-bladed pocket knife. Inside the lid is an oval enamel painting that depicts the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no record of the box's origin, but the 1842 copy of the New Testament within does bear the inscription of an Isabella Swarbrick. The current owner from the West Midlands, who wishes to remain anonymous, I'm not surprised, said that they do not know very much about its history. They say, I've had it for many years in my own collection, for 3 years now, they said. I bought it from a large antiques fair in Newark-on-Trent. I love the gothic look of the box, and when I opened it, I just had to have it. I thought it was so interesting. A great conversation piece. Yes. The owner of the local auctioneer firm said about the box, people are fascinated by stories of vampires, hence their continued appearance in films and TV. They've been part of popular culture for more than 200 years. The publication of Paul Dore's The Vampire in 1819 had a major impact, and that was followed by Bram Stoker's 1897 classic, Dracula. He added, God, why did he have to carry on?
However, a belief in vampires and strange superstitions goes back even further and persists to this very day. The task of killing a vampire was extremely serious, and historical accounts suggest the need for particular methods and tools. Items of religious significance, such as crucifixes and Bibles, are said to repel these monsters, hence their strong presence in the kit we have found. And the box, if anyone's interested, will be sold online on the 16th of July as part of a 5-day-long antique and collectors auction. And the auction house that is selling it is Derbyshire-based auctions, Hanson Auctioneers. I have a strong suspicion it's Blag, but let me know what you think.
Weekend Weird.
Okay, let's get ourselves to some spooky stories, shall we? Yes, Kevin, we shall, for that is the very essence of the podcast. Don't forget, if you've got a spooky story that you want me to read out, be it on this episode or indeed the dark episodes, head over to where you send your emails from, and then put in the to box, contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and I will read them out, for that's how the show works. I think we've gathered that by now, Kevin. There's no need to explain. Thank you, Kevin. You're welcome, Kevin. Anyway, our first email today is entitled Three Short Tales from Across the Pond, and it's from Christopher Murphy. Thank you, Chris. He says, Dear Kevin and Becca. Dear Chris.
Dear Chris.
Hope you are doing well. We are.
We are.
She's not kidnapped, by the way. I'm just pretending to be here. I have three short stories for you. Then, Chris, roll on, my friend. Roll on. First off, a little background. My wife works as a cook in an old age home. I worked there for 2 years as a dishwasher. One day, I was standing in the dish pit at work with my back to the line where the cooks are. I was turned around, chatting with one of the cooks, when from the windowsill on my left, where there was a basket of small dessert forks, one of the forks shot across the kitchen. I don't mean it fell out of the basket, I mean it flew a good 6 feet. I looked at the cook, who I know had been looking at the same thing, and I just asked, "You saw that, right?" To which she replied with a nod. Obviously, this having not been my first experience, I simply walked over, picked up the offending fork, and went back to washing the dishes. Well, Chris, I must say, we're in a restaurant of supernatural activity here, aren't we? And I don't mean your stories, I mean your stories. What I mean, I don't mean the content of your stories, I mean you're delivering these stories like we're in a restaurant. That, sir, was a lovely little appetizer to whet our appetites. Yes, I've had a paranormal starter, and story one was good. I look forward to the main course, which is indeed story two. Story two also takes place in the same kitchen in the old age home as the first. My wife and one of the waitresses were preparing things for breakfast, both of them standing at the square metal table in the centre of the kitchen that the waitresses use for soups and salads. So they were working at the table, chatting, when they hear the sound of glass break. They look around and find on the other side of the table, where underneath they would sometimes store empty wine bottles, one such bottle had broken. That's obviously not strange. What is, however, is where it broke. According to my wife, who has had her own experiences, said the bottom one third of the bottle was broken, but the rest was perfectly intact. And the only way it could have been broken in such a way is if it had been held up by the neck and let go. But there was no one else in the kitchen except the two of them. Good second story there. Yes. So we've got some sort of demon who likes smashing things around in this kitchen. Well, I say demon. It doesn't have to be a demon, does it? But mind you, it's not Mary Poppins, is it? Mary Poppins isn't coming. I'm a lovely little ghost. Gonna fucking smash that. I'm a lovely little ghost. Gonna smash that to bits. I'm a lovely... So it probably is a demon, in truth. Thank you, Chris. Now let's get on to our dessert, shall we? The third story. Now, the third was told to me by one of my oldest friends, and for this story, I'll call her Kay. When Kay was little, her and her family used to go visit her aunt on the farm. She lived in an old farmhouse, and she remembers picking strawberries with her younger sister and really enjoying running around the property. But the house, however, that was something else entirely. She hated it and refused to go in. She recalls one trip where everyone was outside and it started to downpour with rain, and everyone ran into the house to get out of the rain. But not my friend. She refused to go in the house. No one could convince her.
Many years later, her aunt sold the house and property to her brother, in brackets, Kay's uncle. And while sitting at her aunt's new house, they were reminiscing about the farm, when her aunt said, "You never liked that house," to which Kay replied, "No." Then her aunt said something that to this day scares her. She got uncomfortable telling me. Her aunt said, "You saw the old man, didn't you?" To which Kay said, "What are you talking about?" Her aunt continued, "I've seen him too. He doesn't care much for children. One night I was laying in bed and heard someone enter the room and saw the imprint of someone sitting on the edge of my bed." Kay sat there wide-eyed and then she said, "Why did you never tell me any of this?" Her aunt said, "Well, I didn't want to scare you," which Kay promptly replied, "Well, it didn't work because now I'm terrified." Kay's uncle has not had any odd experiences living at the farm. I guess the old ghost likes him. Thanks again for reading these stories out and for all you guys have been doing during the craziness going on in the world. Love the pod. Keep up the awesome work. Cheers, Chris. No, Chris. Cheers to you. I just raised a glass to you. I don't have a glass. It was a cup. A cup of coffee, yes. But what a series of stories. A triad of stories. A tribulation of stories, if you will. Yes, they were all very, very good. I do like that last one where she got a sense that something wasn't right with the house. And then when no one's there anymore, the aunt goes, "Oh, that's because of the naughty old man who dislikes children, who would wander in and sit on beds." You go, "Actually, no, it's not. It was nothing to do with that. It was just a creepy house up till now, auntie." Wow, that is terrifying. Thank you, Chris. If you have any more of those wonderful stories, then please be a pal. Send them over. I'll read them out. You know how it works. Wow. Well, I think that's a nice little triad. Triad? Triad? Treble? Whatever you want to say. Of stories, and we shall now roll into the midpoint. Yes, we shall. For Western Midpoint, and Midpoint still ist in German, because Kevin clearly hasn't got the sense of the world where you can't do things like this anymore. But Kevin doesn't care, no, because he's a German party bastard. Ooh, a German party bastard, there's a t-shirt. Maybe I'll put it on the website when it bloody works. Anywho, how are you? I hope you're all fantastically well. I did want to take this opportunity in the midpoints of this show, this particular show, to give a bit of an apology out to all of my fellow podcasters. I normally do quite a good job in praising them and singing their praises and indeed staying in touch with them, but we've had so much going on here with our job situations. This week I found out that I'll be going down to less wages. That's fun. Until the pandemic is over. But, you know, at least I'm in a job, so I'm better off than most. So we just had a lot going on, so I haven't really reached out to any of my old favourite podcasts. So I just want to kind of put that right in this episode and say, as always, go and listen to the following podcasts, because they're all great. You need to check out the Ghost Story Guys. You need to check out Real Life Ghost Stories. You need to check out a new one called The Poisonous Cabinet, because it's very, very good. There are a series of other podcasts that I'm forgetting here. And I did have a list, and I can't find the list. So I'll probably have to do another apology session next week. Let me just have a check on my podcast app, which I've deleted recently to reinstall. Because everything is... Today, I should have stayed in bed. You know that song that Prince says? These are the days when... Oh, he doesn't say you should have stayed in bed. Manic Monday, basically, but it's a Sunday. And he wishes it was Sunday. Pfft, he mustn't have had a podcast, I tell you. Anyway, so yeah, there are quite a few that I'd say that you need to listen to. Obviously, Real Life Ghost Stories, Ghost Story Guys, The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. He's a fellow Scouser. You might already be onto him. He's a very good thing to listen to. And a new one that one of our listeners, well, new to me, that one of our listeners got me onto, called Euphomet, Euphomet. It may be a little bit, I'll be perfectly blunt, it may be a little bit artsy-fartsy for some people, but at the very depth of it, it's an excellent podcast, so you should go and check it out. Check it out! I know Becca hasn't been on in recent weeks, but she, as always, is very busy. She is going to join me on today's Patreon, as she does with most Patreon episodes, where we have a bit of a giggle, a little bit of a giggle, but she has friends coming over tonight, yes, and we're having a bit of a dinner party. And when I say dinner party, I mean Becca's cooking everything, doing everything. I'm staying out of her way till the friends arrive, and then I'm going to wash a few dishes whilst we talk. That seems to be the general gist, but I have fun in the process. I hope you're all having as much fun as you can be, listening to me or waffle on. Probably not, because I'm a bit of a waffler these days, especially when I've had 9 coffees. I don't know why that is. Okay, but should we get back to some spooky stories? I believe both I, you, and everyone else in the free world is saying yes, so we shall. Let's! And we're back, and I've just thought of two of the shows that you need to check out. One is the Ghost Trail series. Yes, go check that out. I think it's more of a YouTube thing, but it's very good. And also Booze and Bourbon podcast. Yes, it's excellent. And I believe they've started to do haunted location video type things. Jammy buggers. But do check both of those shows out because they're very good. Okay, let's get back to some more scary stories, shall we? So our next email comes in from the wonderfully named Tyler Manning. And his email title is Story One of Many to Come. Well, that's good for the show because we need the content. Yes. He says, hello, Kevin and Becca. Hello, Tyler.
Hello, Tyler.
I'm Tyler from Lower Alabama, and I've grown up around the paranormal. I work in the basement of a hospital where I see stuff all the time and experience COTEP frequently, so I'll be writing during lunch breaks. And here's his story. Okay, so a bit of backstory. First off, I've two grandmas, one who we'll call Gigi, because when I was little, I couldn't say grandma, and one we'll call Ma-Ma. Gigi is a strong Christian who, if you can't see it, it's a demon, and everyone must be reminded that absent from the body is present with the Lord. And Mama, who has made a deal with the ghost at our house to leave her alone and she doesn't call someone to get rid of it. Just to let on how I feel, I've made the same deal with whatever's in my house, and so far only my brother has been grabbed, and it's been a couple of years since we moved in. But today's story is one that happened at my mum's friend's. In brackets, we'll call her Georgia, because I like that name. I don't know. In her house. When Georgia and her family moved in, it was her husband, and her two kids. They were renting the house by the month, so after the first cycle, they went to pay the landlord. And he told them, hey, I don't want to tell you in front of the kids, but there was a lady who died there. Her name was Margaret, and she's buried in the cemetery across the cow field behind the house. Now, this did not bother them. And about a week or two later, we were all over there hanging out when the youngest son, in brackets, let's call him George, he's about four, started talking. Now, I thought he was saying something to me, so I turned and said, sorry, bud, I wasn't listening. What did you say? He looked right at me and said, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to my new friend, Margaret. I turned and looked at his parents and said, oh, you told them about that? To which they both denied even talking about the subject in the house. A few days later, we were back over and the kids were annoying me. In brackets, I was about 5 years older than the oldest one of them. When Georgia told me I could go back to the bedroom and watch a movie or TV. So I did, and after a couple of seconds, the TV starts changing channels. Now, I've grown up watching Ghost Hunters. So after a minute, I walk into the living room and can see that the kids are watching the cartoon that my TV keeps changing channels to. Boom, debunk, the signals were just crossed, so I fixed it. I go back to watching my movie when the bedroom door opens, but no one comes in. I figure that someone is messing with me, so I think nothing of it until the bathroom door on the other side of the bedroom opens and closes, and the only way to get there would have been to walk in front of me. I try to think of ways to debunk it when I just decide to go and find George and ask him where Margaret is, but not tell him what I saw. He then walks around the whole house saying he can't find her, before walking into the bedroom I was in and saying, no, I don't see her. Then opening the bathroom door and saying, wait, here she is. He giggles and adds, she was hiding. Bloody hell, Tyler, I have genuinely just got a shiver down my spine. And it's the middle of the effing day in broad daylight. But I've literally just got a shiver that goes down the back of both of my arms. Oh my Lord. And if I've done that, I know our listeners will have done that too, if you're listening in the right enviro. But Tyler, if that's the first of many more to come, I hope they're all as good as that. That is amazing. I mean, as you'll have heard on this week's Dark episode, it features an imaginary friend. I know in this case it's a bit different because it seems like it's a genuine spirit of a deceased person that's choosing to make friends with young George there. But
It's something about kids, isn't it? Anything to do with kids where they say, I can see a ghost. It's like, really? Well, here's £5. Please get on the nearest bus and go away. Because that is absolutely terrifying. Why is Margaret hiding? Maybe she was hiding from George and she's a nice ghost. She's not a demon. She is like Mary Poppins and she's like, hey, George, let's play hide and seek. And George is like, okay, ghost, let's play hide and seek. In which case, fair enough, carry on as you were. But if George is like, oh, I don't know that we're playing a game, she's just going around invisibly hiding ground places, then that's nefarious and we need to find her and execute her in ghost form. With a young priest and an old priest. That is bloody terrifying though, Tyler. Please do continue to send these stories on. For my pants need a good wetting. That is absolutely brilliant. Thank you so very much for sending that in. Our next story comes in from Lucy White. Yes, the person who gave us the story for Weak and Weird. She's a regular contributor, you know. So her email is called Another Story for You! ! Why, thank you, Lucy. Hi, Kevin Beck. Hi.
Hi.
I hope you're all well. We are.
We are.
I wanted to share my father's weird experience, this time whilst carrying out national service in the UK. He is the guy who stalked... Oh, he didn't stalk anything. He is the guy who staked out my brother's and my bedroom to discover the ghost was a piece of tape vibrating in the breeze on the window that you read out a few weeks back. I recall it well. So he's not easily scared, in brackets. As I said previously, he grew up in New Ferry in the 1940s and 1950s. And New Ferry is just over the water from us in Birkenheadways there. However, he has no explanation for this experience and his tale has never changed with years of recounting it. And this is the tale. He's now 82 and was old enough at 18 to be in the last year of men to undergo national service training after World War II. He was in the Dental Corps and had his basic training at Catterick Barracks in Yorkshire, England. Being a typical soldier, he and his friends would visit the local towns on their nights off to relax. This also meant they would often not have the money for a bus back to the barracks, or the buses would not run that late. Our outdoors is not as scary as some listeners in the USA, as the largest animals you will encounter in Yorkshire at night are cows or deer. Nothing more exciting than that. So hiking home was not hazardous. And in those days, there were very few cars to hitchhike home in. The night in question was extremely well lit by the moon, and my dad, John Price, was walking with another soldier back from Barnard Castle Town to Catterick Base, through the country lanes, in brackets. A well-known government advisor was in the area during lockdown. Dad and his friends had done this walk many times before and since, but never saw what they encountered again. They became aware of an extremely tall man standing on the other side of a hedge from them in the middle of nowhere, and the time was about 2 a.m. He was watching them as they approached. They were totally spooked by him. He did not speak, and as they walked past him, he bent over the hedge, bending down to stare at them more closely, and they had to dash underneath him to get past, as the lane was narrow. He was at least 9 foot tall to be able to do this. He did not respond when they shouted at him, and he stayed in the same spot, continuing to stare at them as they now ran away until his spot was completely out of sight. Dad checked out the spot afterwards, and the giant's side of the hedge was the same level as the lane he walked past on, so this being was extremely tall. They could never account for this encounter, and it still intrigues him today. I now think this could have been the Rake, or something like that. I hope you enjoyed this. I will send you more experiences from our family soon. Thanks so much, Lucy White. No, no, no. Thank you, Lucy. I raised my coffee cup again. There you go. And what a tale. Yes, now, this Rake chappy. We need to address him in future episodes, I think. We will do a Rake special soon. Yes. Or maybe we'll save it for a dark. I don't know. But he is... I was reading about the Rake recently. It's one of these tropes now, isn't it? It's like you've got the Hat Man, the Shadow Man, and the Rake. He's one of these guys, out of proportion bodies. Funny enough, actually, when we went up to Lake District last week, we went with Becca's stepfather and her mother and all her stepfather's family, all lovely people. We had a lovely time. And interestingly, there's up where we were, there's a place called Carnforth. And her stepdad years ago told me a tale of
a monastery or something similar near Carnforth, where a friend of his went with a load of school children, like for a you know, where school kids go and do like a stay somewhere, like they normally do it in Wales and places like that. And they were walking down this country lane, and he seen something approximately 8 or 9 foot tall, disproportionate limbs, just step out into the path that they were walking. He managed to turn around and tell everyone to go another way before anyone else seen it. But, and I was speaking to my stepfather, I was speaking to my father-in-law, if you will, common law father-in-law, about this. And he's floated the idea. I mean, he's a very rational man, but he said if he did believe in anything at all to do with the paranormal, he'd think that there are these entities that guard, like, you know, like natural entities, you know, like they guard fields and trees and some sort of green man-esque entity. And I'm starting to side with him really about this sort of thing, that there are entities out there that are natural spirits and they try and take the form of a human to almost calm you, but they get it completely wrong. So like, humans are coming. I suppose I should try and take a shape like them and fit in. And next thing you know, they're 11 foot tall with 5 arms and go, hello, stay calm. I'm just over here. I'm not a spooky thing. I'm just a man. And that's what I think it could be. But yes, Lucy, fantastic. Thank you. And thank you to your dad again for sending in such a wonderful story. Shall we have one more? I think we should. And the next email comes in from our good friend in Australia, Mr. Tony Evans. And his is entitled, Not a Ghost Story as Such. So we won't read it then. Thanks anyway, Tone. I'm joking. We all also like a good strange story. So let's see where we go with this one. Hi, Kev and Becca. Hi. Becca's just dropped dead there. I don't know what happened. She says, this is a sort of paranormal experience that happened to me around this time 30 years ago. As you may know, I'm a sensitive and I've had in my life many encounters of the spiritual kind. This one is an odd one, but it's important to me. Picture, if you will, a young rakish man of 18 years, long hair down to the waist, an army trench coat almost brushing the caps of my Dr. Martens. It's late and I'm walking home from my then girlfriend's house. It's a bitter North London night and I'm plugged into my Walkman, in brackets, the kind with the orange foam over the headphones. Venom's at war with Satan breaking up my 40-minute walk home. I was deep in the music and memories of a good night when I got this sense someone was trying to get my attention. I looked over my shoulder and walking about a page behind, now in brackets, now this will take some describing, a youngish lady. She was about a foot shorter than me and she had a shaved head and one side a bandage that looked soaked in blood. Her skin was dirty and she was very thin and was holding her jeans up with her hand as they looked like they were too big for her. I stopped in my tracks, popped the tape on pause and asked if she needed anything. The strangest thing was she was babbling in what I thought was French. I flunked French at school so cannot speak a word, but I could for some reason understand most of what she kept repeating. Over and over she kept saying, my sister, I must find my sister. I asked her where she was and she would say an address in central London. In brackets, I cannot remember this address at all now, which is slightly odd as all other aspects of this unusual encounter are clear. Something in my soul said I need to help this person, so I walked her back to my house, where at this time Mum and Dad were fast asleep. I quietly, which was hard as she kept really loudly babbling about her sister, shown her where the bathroom was. I stayed close by in case she did something silly. When she was cleaned, I gave her my only belt, and fed her and gave her a coffee. It looked like she'd not eaten in a week. I then walked her to the tube, a 25-minute walk from my house, and with my last £5, I bought her a travel card and sent her on the way to see her sister. I know this is not scary, but I feel there was a force greater than what we know that night. Where I met her was not in a main street, but off on the beaten track. Why would she be there, and why did I hear her clearly over the music and understand her? She may have been a ghost who needed help. You never know. Cheers, Tone. Well, I tell you this, Tony. Even if she wasn't a ghost, she sounds bloody dramatic. And I could picture that perfectly. And very strange, a very strange occurrence there. I do believe something paranormal was going on. What? I have no idea. But it would be interesting if, well, this sounds bloody dark now and like creepy and gruesome. And why would you say this, Kevin, type of thing. But I wonder if in the news there was like a young girl that was murdered on the same night. Maybe you took her spirit home. You never know. Especially if she's speaking in a foreign language, but you understand it. I mean, that's some next level shit, baby. So, thank you, Tone. As always, I appreciate your emails. And if you have an email like that, it doesn't have to be about helping the deceased. It can be about anything. Send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I, of course, will read them out. Anyway, should we have some correspondence off you wonderful guys? Yes, I think we should. Now, we've had a lot of emails come in praising the quality of the stories that we read out on last week's episode. You may remember that on last week's standard episode, there were two exceptionally written stories that people had sent in. And we've had people praising those stories. So well done, those two people. So the first email we've had in to say thank you, again, comes from Tony, who we've just had a story off, but he sent this a while back. He says, wow, The Thing and The Man in the Closet. What a set of stories. The Man in the Closet had me rigid with fear. I have a fear of open closets at night. Can't sleep if one of my rooms is open. So lying on my sofa this very night, listening to what I would say would be an award-winning short story, I could not get up to leave the room till I heard the end of that amazing story. Please pass on my compliments. What a terrifying yet sad story. What a roller coaster. As usual, very well read by you. Why, thank you. You made the atmosphere even darker. Why, thank you. As always, end it on a seventh tone. So yeah, those two stories that we had last week, let me see if I can find out who they were from. I think one was from T.I. Shippers and one was from Tom Gibson. So well done, you two. Tell you what, you've received a lot of fan mail through to me due to those two stories. So if you have any more, then do send them on. We have had more compliments on them too. We've had a Jenny get in touch and said, can you please pass on my sincere compliments to the two story writers from last week's episode? I am literally stood here quivering in my boots. So, well done, you two guys. You know, that's an excellent caliber of story you sent in. And, you know, don't get me wrong, not every story we receive needs to be written like that. They were just very well done and they need commenting on. But I also like any story that's sent in. You know, sometimes the rougher the story, the more realistic it comes across. So don't let that deter you from sending your stories in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. I will read them all out, indeed I will. Now we've also had some lovely reviews from you people as well, and we're going to read them out too. So the first one, 5 stars, thank you, from Bedigrain via Apple Podcasts US of A. 5 stars. I love everything about this podcast. It's been really great during the lockdown to listen to Kevin and Becca do the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghost episodes. Just something different to listen to throughout the week. Thank you so much for doing those for us. Looking forward to the dark episodes. Well, you're very welcome. We enjoy doing it, you see. That's why we do it. We've also had another one that came in. 5-star review. It actually says, the title is, If I Could Give You a 1,000,000-star Review, I Would... Wow, and this has come in from Little Witch 95 in the US of A. And it says, sorry, this is an unnecessarily long review. I'll be the judge of that. It says, so I've been listening to this podcast for a couple of months now, and it's needless to say I'm a little beyond hooked. I've been interested in the paranormal for years, at very least since I was 5 years old. In brackets, I'm 25 now. So I've heard many stories that are repeatedly told and seen throughout history today. So because I'm a little desensitized, sometimes it's hard to slightly creep me out. But not with We Need to Talk About Ghosts. The stories told by Kevin and Beckett are always interesting and always manages to reel me in and makes me want to leave the lights on at night. In brackets, I'm a paranormal junkie. I live for adrenaline. I absolutely adore listening to Kevin and Becca so much. I give myself a weekly ritual of listening to Wintag while I do my work prep at my job on Sundays to make time go faster. For anyone considering listening to Wintag, just do it. You will not regret it. Love you both so much. Stay spooky, Catherine Spencer. Why, thank you, Catherine. What a bloody lovely review. I wish you had something I could review too so I could return the favour. And our next one is called Simply Splendid. 5 stars. Heard you on the Ghost Story, guys, but didn't find you until I was out of episodes and your podcast kept popping up in every suggestions. And now I can never wait for the next episode. And that's from AEW and Paranormal in the US of A. I wonder if that's All Elite Wrestling they're referencing there. I do hope so. A wrestling fan, hurrah. But sincerely, guys, thank you very much for those reviews. They are delightful. And don't forget, if you can't give to Patreon for whatever reason, and that's absolutely totally fine and none of my business, because this show is free, it's always going to be free, and it's intended to be free. It is also free, however, to leave a review. So if you'd like to, it does help the show out. Go over to wherever you get your podcast from, find wherever they say do reviews, and write a review. Yeah. So I will now end this episode. I have trouble ending things. Yeah, I do.
So I will end this episode now. I have to go up and record, have to go up and record this week's Patreon episode with the wonderful Becca. I hope she's done some research. I have a funny feeling she's going to be prepping tonight's dinner party, and I'll actually be following around with a handheld recorder, which will be fun, lead to many arguments, I do believe. And if you're not joining us on Patreon, then tune in on Wednesday when you will hear We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, because this is what we talk about. Extra content, baby, waby, waby. In the meantime, and in between time, please look after yourselves. Take care of each other. Be nice. Do something nice today. I'm not saying that you don't. You probably do a lot more nicer things than I. But yeah, why not? Do something extra nice today. And think to yourself when you do it. That's because Kev told me to do that. He really is changing the world. And then, that'll make what I'm talking about now. I've had far too much coffee. I'm not changing the world. I'm putting out NFing Ghost Podcast. That's it. So, enough waffle. I love you all, and I'll speak to you on Wednesday. Teddy, bye.